It was great just watching. Every day was like a privilege. But somewhere along the line, you changed. You stopped being you. You let people stick a finger in your face and tell you you're no good. And when things got hard, you started looking for something to blame, like a big shadow.
I seen your face when you smile a little bit that you think it's funny. It's football, so we need good circumstances. And if you play football, you need a normal pitch. If the pitch gets drier and drier, then it's not cool for the football playing side. That's it.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, now go out and get what you're worth. But you gotta be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you wanna be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that.
I'm not sure if it should. It's like it is. Obviously, each club can decide it like they want. And now, if West Brom has to do, has to make the game more or have more possession next year in the championship, I'm pretty sure they have the water pitch will be watered.
Let's do it. It's time for the latest edition of Get Up The Yard. It's Sunday the 22nd of April, and I'm joined tonight by Dave and Luxy. How are we both?
Very good, Frank.
Yeah, I'm good, Frank. How are you?
Good stuff. Enjoying the beautiful weather, the rare beautiful weather.
Yeah,
well,
it's supposed to rain next week, so I think we've had our summer. That's what we're getting for the rest of the year.
Yeah. And, of course, we decided to lock ourselves away in dark rooms and do a podcast on the rare sunny day we have. Yeah.
All right. The Irish way.
Yeah, of course. We either lock ourselves away doing podcasts or in the pub. So I suppose this is the cheaper option. all right. Look, lads, I mean, it's been a monumental week, especially, for the reason of Arsene Wenger has tendered his resignation. He will leave Arsenal at the end of the season. Even though I think a lot of people expected it, the timing of it being announced during the week and the fact that it's actually happened for the last 3 or 4 years, lads, we've had the whole Wenger out, the Arsenal TV uprising, you know, and this season there's been reduced attendances, and they're probably, you know, they're really battling it out with Burnley for sixth at the moment, although they still have a chance of winning the Europa League. I think as far as everyone at Arsenal was concerned, it kind of really came to a head this season, and Dave Wenger has decided to go, apparently, although reports this morning indicating that he was pushed rather than jumped. What's your thoughts on this week? He's been a stalwart of Arsenal and of the Premier League for the last 22 years, I think. It will be, although it was almost inevitable, it's still a huge news story and he'll be missed.
Yeah, he will be missed. He was a very, he was a stalwart, as you said. He was a brilliant manager, brilliant innovator of the English game, and he brought in a style of football and a method of training and, you know, diet and stuff like that, that at its time was revolutionary. The only problem is everyone's kind of caught up with him. That's what's happened really with his methods, and he has become a little bit out of touch, and unfortunately that has had an impact on his legacy now. And you just look at the amount of Wenger out banners now around his own club to see that. I'm glad it's happened now, because I think he was getting in danger of becoming remembered for what he was in his latter years rather than what he was in his previous years, which was, let's remember, he's still Arsenal's most successful manager ever. He's won 6 FA Cups, or is it 7? I think it's 6, isn't it? yeah. more than any other manager. Three league titles. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to conquer Europe yet, although he might still win the UEFA Cup this year, which I hope they do. I really do. I think a lot of us here would actually like them to win it and, you know, qualify. And for him to leave on a high, and a much-deserved high, and to give him and to see the people that have been calling for his head and for rightly or wrongly calling for his head, to see them give him the respect that he does deserve, because he's, as you said, been an absolute, he's been a breath, you know, he's been an absolute privilege to see in the Premier League. And for the last 20, you know, even the 20 years he was still there, they were still consistently in the top four. You know, he never really, for all his failings, for all his shortcomings, he still had them, you know, punching in the top, you know, 20 years consecutively in the Champions League, although it didn't go well for them there. Yeah, I think it's good to see him like leave out now on sort of his own terms, although, as you said there, there was probably talk about you might have been pushed. I think it was kind of an amicable decision, but, you know, it's good to draw the close the curtain on the Wenger era.
Yeah. Luxie, are you sad to see him go? From a neutral point of view, are you sad to see him go?
No, not really. Because I think, you know, it's something that we've been expecting for years. It's something that myself and Dave, as former cohabitating residents, used to talk about quite regularly, is Wenger's time was done. And I think he's going to be remembered in equal measure for being an absolute genius manager that did revolutionise the game of football in England. Was very, very successful for a certain period of time and did actually make his rivals better. He forced Chelsea to be better. He forced Liverpool to be better. And he certainly forced United to be better. And at the peak rivalry between Arsenal and Manchester United, the matches between them were bloodbaths. They were absolutely fascinating games of football. And they're some of the most entertaining games of football that I've ever seen in England. But at the same time, over the past 10 years, I think he's only won one trophy. And his time was done. And like the way I see his departure is, if you look at when Ferguson left, he didn't leave a great set of players to be passed on to the next manager. But nonetheless, they were Premier League title winners. And what's he leaving at Arsenal? He's not leaving them much.
They're certainly in a better position than when he found them.
Yeah, absolutely. But if you look at what they need going forward, there isn't a lot there to build on. They're probably going to have to spend an exorbitant amount of money to rebuild that team, and that's going to take time. I don't think he's left. I think he's left in a very precarious position, in the sense that the midfield isn't good enough. The defence certainly isn't good enough. Petr Cech hasn't been good enough. You're looking at probably the guts of £300 million at a bare minimum to rebuild that team. They need to ship players out. I was listening to Sky Sports Saturday yesterday. I think there's 8 or 9 players that are a year left on their contract. And that's another failing of Wenger and the management team, is like they consistently let players run down their contracts or come very close to running down their contracts. So they either keep them on and pay them too much money to affect their wage bill, or else they fail to sign them on. And then they're forced to either let them go on a free like they did with Van Persie, or else sell them on for a shitload of money. Rather than keeping them and helping them progress with the team. So if I was an Arsenal fan, I'd be happy or pleased. And I wouldn't be happy that he's gone, because he's been a marvellous servant of the club. I'd be pleased in the finality that he won't be there. But at the same time, I'd be extremely worried about the nucleus and the base of that team, especially in the near distant future. They need to ship players out, and they need to rebuild that defence as well. So it's going to be a very, very interesting year for Arsenal, and they might go into a slump like United did after Ferguson left. That's a very realistic possibility. I don't think they have any leaders in that team, so I'd be worried. And I think Wenger's announcement, especially this time of the year, was very strange. He probably should have done it in December, along the same time when Ferguson did it, or maybe at the start of the year. To do it now just seems a bit strange, especially before a big semi-final against Atletico Madrid. So it's strange, but it's also fascinating just from a neutral's point of view to see what's going to happen in the summer with that team.
Do you, Luxie, expect Wenger to retire now, or do you think there's a possibility he may, you know, take up the PSG job or maybe an international job?
No, I don't see him taking over another club job. He's dedicated the bulk of his life's work to Arsenal Football Club, so I think he feels too much affinity and too much love. I don't think, you know, I think he's 68 years old. You know, football is visibly taken it out of him. He does look a bit haggard. He does look a bit skinny. I think he deserves a long extended break, and he might possibly manage a French team. I don't see him getting back into club football. I think he's done, and obviously for financial reasons he doesn't need to. I think from a professional point of view, I don't think he's got anything else to prove. What he's done at Arsenal in the glory years was absolutely outstanding. It was an incredible achievement. Yeah, of course he did struggle towards his latter years at the club, but I don't think he's got that ego either. I don't think he feels the need to go out into public and prove that he is the best manager in the world or one of the best. I think he feels that already, and it's just come to a natural end for him, and he'll move on, and he might come back into national football, but club football certainly not.
Yeah. Dave, if you were someone like Jack Wilshere, whose contract expires in the summer, given the news that Wenger's leaving, would you be more likely or less likely to stay at Arsenal?
If I was Jack Wilshere?
Well, any player in that position who, you might be questioning the trajectory that the club is on. Do you think a player in that dressing room would see Wenger leaving as a positive and think, right, there could be a new beginning here, or a negative and saying, well, you know, if Wenger's going, I'm going?
No, I'd say players now that have joined Arsenal, like, I mean, the likes of Wilshere or Ozil or even like Aubameyang, who was bought by Wenger, will be looking at this now as a new opportunity to create a new kind of identity at the club and a new Arsenal. I mean, I think it is exciting times for the club, you know. I do think so. I think they have a brilliant stadium. They have, you know, a fan base that can get behind them now that they've been galvanised. I think it's a chance for these players to kind of prove themselves as that they are good players and that they are, you know, worth the kind of, you know, hype that surrounds some of them. And you mentioned the Wilshere there. I would say if I was Wilshere, I'd snap up any contract for Arsenal. I can't see why he'd want to leave it at all. I don't see any team really going, even if he's for free, I don't see where he fits in any of the kind of the top four teams. If I was Jack Wilshere, I'd definitely see this as a new opportunity to create something new at Arsenal.
If you're Jack Wilshere, would you not be worried about a new manager coming in and looking at his injury record? Do you not think a new manager would want to have a base of a team?
I was just using Jack Wilshere as a kind of reference point because his contract was running down, as opposed to.
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, in my opinion, Jack Wilshere should snap up any contract that's offered to him. But that would be a concern, Jay. I think, you know, if Simeone or someone that comes in and says he wants, you know, someone tough in midfield, then I don't think Jack Wilshere would be very high on the list of candidates for him. So I think, I think that applies to all the players at Arsenal now that Wenger's gone, but, you know, the club is still there. The team they signed for is still there, and you know they have an opportunity now to get them back to where they belong, really, which is, you know, constantly in the top four and challenging for the top honours, not just competing in them and not getting anywhere near. They have a chance now to you know, impress a new manager, and it should serve as motivation for them.
Sorry, Frank. Go ahead.
No, go on. Sorry, look, I didn't mean to cut across.
I just think it's paradoxical to me that in the past 10 years, or certainly the past 5 years, the media and a lot of news and a lot of Arsenal fans have derided Wenger. They said he's washed up. They said he's done. They said he's done. They said he's destroying the club, and he's an old man that's lost his mind. And, you know, we've criticised him too, but now that he's left, you're just going to see a parade of love and affection and worship of a man that they were only criticising a couple of months ago. And it's ironic the way, you know, that paradigm can absolutely shift in football from constant criticism to oh, he used to be great and he deserves all this praise, and he absolutely does. But I just find it ironic that, you know, the shift from criticism to affection and a beautiful send off. It is a little bit strange. But that's just me. I don't know how you guys feel about it.
There's a time and a place for criticism, but when he's on the day that's in it, I think it's a time to reflect on the good qualities and not the negative qualities. I just don't. Yes, I mean, we all have kind of said this about Wenger. Like, I mean, he's naive or he's stubborn and kind of oblivious to his own kind of shortcomings when it regards to his teams. But you know, it's human nature to remember the good things when someone retires or when someone you know, leaves and steps down or whatever. Like, I mean, I know he hasn't died, but or when they pass away, it's always like you remember the kind of good things. You don't really reflect on the criticisms or the bad things. So yeah, it's kind of a natural thing. I mean, when you have someone like Jose Mourinho gushing his praises, yeah, I see where you're coming from, Jay, who's you know, spent his whole career kind of, you know, having digs at him. But I think in regards to certain sections of the media, I can understand the kind of double standard there.
Yeah. So I think it is the media that really pushed the narrative, isn't it? Because, you know, in terms of what's more entertaining or what are people going to tune into? Because even when there was the Wenger out brigade, the media could have chosen to focus on the people that still backed Wenger, you know, within the Emirates. And there was people, despite there being an audible disdain towards him, there was still, you know, fans who still backed Wenger based on his previous achievements. And now, you know, it's very easy for them to just switch away from the people who would probably say, look, yeah, what good riddance to him, like, you know, he's dead too long and now focus their attention on those people who want to kind of, you know, really chime in and say how well he's done. And as Dave said, it is really about timing and the narrative the media are trying to push at any particular time. But like, I suppose the question then, lads, moves to very quickly the summer. You know, it's an awkward one because there's a massive overhaul needed of that squad. There's a World Cup on in Russia, which means that, you know, the players are going to be spread out across, you know, a country the size of a continent. So to do deals and things like that, particularly as they wouldn't have been already lined up, because, you know, the player that Wenger might have wanted to bring in the summer may not necessarily be the player that a new coach would want to bring in. So he's going to have to be appointed, identify his players, and somehow manage to sign them, you know, in a very short space of time. Like, do you guys, based on that, Dave, do you worry about how Arsenal will get on next season? We'll come on to, you know, who we expect to be in the dugout next season, but I find it, the timing of the resignation, very peculiar. As Luxy said, it's probably about 4 months too late, given that the massive overhaul needed and the short space of time that a new coach will have to do it.
I think I don't think he had any designs on resigning 4 months ago, though. I think he had every intention of seeing out his contract and staying to the bitter end. But this decision, whoever's made it, whether it's him or the board, has been a recent one. And I think rather than wait until the end of the summer when, you know, it could peter out and into nothing, I think they've wanted to maybe galvanise the players or the fans for the rest of the season, push for, you know, a European trophy and qualify for the Champions League. So I can kind of see where that's going. I mean, 4 months ago, I mean, yeah, you would say it would be more ideal for them to kind of look for their replacements and for the squad to kind of prepare themselves for next season or whatever. But this is a sudden thing now. This has just kind of happened now, which is out of the hands of everyone. I think you mentioned that they need, Jay mentioned they need about 200, 300 million investment in the summer. I agree with that. But I think mainly, and we're banging a drum here that's been, you know, been saying for years, but they need defensive players. They need a good, solid midfielder in the Vieira or Gilberto Silva mold that they haven't had in about 12 years. And if they spent, you know, 60, 70 million on a player like that, that would be a start more than anything else. They have good players on it for them. They have Lacazette, they have Aubameyang, Ozil, even Ramsey, and sure, if you can get them fit, Wilshere. The problem is, you know, players like Elneny, Xhaka.
Your favorite player, Dave.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Who else? Iwobi. These players just aren't good enough, and Wenger's kind of had a bit of a blind spot for players like that for a very, very long time. So I think they're the kind of players that need replacements. And yeah, I think that a new manager in now would probably be able to sort that better. But I think all depends on really this Champions League. And I think the whole maybe reason for announcing it now is to maybe G up the players and the fans to try and win it. Because if they're in the Champions League next year, they'll be in a better position to attract these players. But if they don't, then they could be in trouble.
Mm. All right. Well, let's move on then to who that man charged with the responsibility of resurrecting Arsenal will be. Been, you know, a couple of contenders: Rodgers, Tuchel, Vieira, even Henri, Yardim, the Monaco coach, Yardim. Who do you guys expect to be the new Arsenal manager, and when do you expect them to be announced, or she, him or she, to be announced?
I think they'd be making a mistake if they appointed Brendan Rodgers. And something that we were discussing on Friday or yesterday in our WhatsApp group text. I think Rodgers is obviously a man, he's qualified to manage in the Premier League. He has the attributes and he has a certain charisma, and he is a bit of a rogue and a free radical in his approach. And people either take to that or they don't. If you look at the way Arsenal's institution and their public images, it's always very, you know, they try to come across as classy, elegant, and they conduct their duties with a bit of finesse. And I don't think that's anywhere near the way Brendan Rodgers approaches his profession. I don't think that the club and him are compatible in that sense. Some people may feel that, you know, given Arsenal, I feel they're the precarious situation, and they will be this summer. Someone like Rodgers might be able to invigorate and, you know, bring a bit of passion into the club and be a bit of a maverick and change things up a bit. But Arsenal are going to want a manager that plays the Arsenal way. Crisp, clean, fluid football. And there was never really Rodgers' hallmark. And Rodgers, you know, as good as he is in setting a team to go and play attacking football, I never thought he was a defensive coach. And Arsenal needs someone that is very tactically astute going forward, as well as going back to organise and structure the team. I don't feel that's Brendan Rodgers. It's definitely not Sam Allardyce. If he throws his name into the mix, that'd be a fucking joke. But Tuchel is probably their best option. He was decent at Dortmund. He seems to have something about him, a bit of an X factor. And Arsenal needs to be wise and needs to be quick. And they need to be very astute in the way they conduct their business, and they need to get a new manager in quick, and they need to give players reassurance before they go to the World Cup. And if they do have their eye on any footballers, they need to bring them in before the World Cup starts, because if any of those players play well in the World Cup, their price is going to go up. But also they have to tender with no Champions League football, which is a major it's a problem in attracting quality signing players, which they need.
Yes, they win the World Cup.
Yeah, unless through in the Wave Cup, that can change things, and it most definitely would. But if you look at Arsenal in the pantheon of, you know, the great clubs of the world, they're not up there with the Barcelonas, the Real Madrids, the Manchester Uniteds, and the Sheffield Uniteds. They're not up there. So, you know, in the way that United were able to attract players that when they weren't in the Champions League, Arsenal don't have that flexibility to do so. They don't have that history. They're not up there. So they do need Champions League football next year. They do need to bring in a very good manager soon. They need to reassure their players, and they need to ship some out. Tuchel, for me, would be the best option, or Simeone. But I think from what I hear, and if you're to believe what the rumours say, he's most likely going to Italy. He probably would be ideal for Arsenal, but yet again, the way he likes to play football isn't suited to the Arsenal way. as much as, you know, United have consistently said Mourinho isn't compatible with the United way, Simeone and Brendan Rodgers aren't compatible with the Arsenal way. Tuchel's probably the best guy for the job. But he's going to need reassurances from the board that he's going to be in control. He's going to want the same mandate and the same platform that Wenger had when he started. He's going to need funds. And Arsenal, despite having generating great revenues financially from the stadium and their merchandise, they rarely go out and splash a shitload of money in the summer. They do occasionally on big signings. But what they need to do is spend a shitload of money. I'm not sure that they're going to have it. They're going to need to have a manager in place that the players that they're going to bring are going to want to play for. I don't feel Rodgers is certainly that person. He's not well known on the continent. And Arsenal have always traditionally signed players from Europe and from Africa. And they're not going to know the name Brendan Rodgers. They're not going to trust him.
Players like Dembele and things like that to Celtic. I think you're being a little bit harsh on Rodgers there, to be honest. Like, I'm not saying that he is the right man for the job, but I think he brought in Luis Suarez, didn't he? Coutinho, but even if you look at the lads that he brought into Celtic, they're being courted by some big European teams now, particularly Dembele and even Tierney, the left back. There's a lot of arguments for and against Rodgers, Dave, but if they did hire him, instead of spending 60 or 70 million on that midfield leader, I'm sure they could get Scott Brown for a lot cheaper if they got Brendan Rodgers in.
That'd probably be, I'm sure the Arsenal fans would love that. Sorry, what do I think?
Who do you think they'll go after?
Oh, I think they'll go after either Tuchel or Luis Enrique. Someone, as Jay said there, who fits the mould of how Arsenal like to play football. They will go for someone who has a mentality of attacking and an expansive kind of continental style football. But I think I'm looking at Arsenal now, and I think they actually need an overhaul. I think they need somebody who can recognise the actual weaknesses in that team and, you know, remedy them.
Of which there are many, Dave.
I wish there are many, but mainly in defensive and in terms of strong kind of leader type players who can actually who run through a wall for you. Arsenal have no one like that. They do have good attacking players, again, as I mentioned, Ozil and Aubameyang and the like. But I have a feeling that if they get Tuchel or Luis Enrique in, they're doomed to repeat the failures that have happened for the last 5 years. Because, I mean, if anyone remembers, Arne knows that about a Tuchel team from Dortmund. They were extremely well, drilled going forward, and they, they attacked you. They were winning games against the lower league teams 7-0 and all that. But when it came to the crunch games against the likes of Barcelona and Bayern Munich and, all those in the Champions League, they were getting well exposed at the back, and they didn't. They had no answer for them, and that's a problem with his philosophy. It's very attacking, Tuchel's philosophy, and I think the same for Luis Enrique as well. It's about managing egos as well. He didn't manage Messi or Iniesta or Xavi or anything. That's why he ended up.
He wasn't overly successful in Italy either.
No, he wasn't. He didn't. He was Roma, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I think he tried to get a few Barcelona players, ex-Barcelona players in, but none of them really worked. He got Bojan in, and it didn't work. It didn't really work out from there either. So no, I think if I was an Arsenal fan, I'd want Simeone in, to be honest, because he would get the mentality right. He would get the balance right between how Arsenal should play and what Arsenal need to progress as a future threat in every competition that they're in, Champions League and leagues and stuff like that. I think he's a winner. I think I think even, do you know what, they could do worse than Rafa Benitez.
I think he's a good shout there, yeah.
I think he would actually be not a bad, Arsenal fans wouldn't like that either. He wouldn't play the so-called Arsenal way or anything like that. But
he has a bit of a he's a checkered history though, Dave, doesn't he? A kind of bigger clubs, like, it didn't do overly well at Madrid or Inter Milan.
No, we did very well at Liverpool and Chelsea. And
yeah, but
he knows the English game very well. Mm. I mean, I'd say Simeone first, but I mean, I'm just saying, as a sort of an outlier, I'd say Benitez wouldn't be a bad show either. Certainly, yeah. I think if I was going for Rodgers or Benitez, I'd lean towards Benitez.
Who would you like to see at Arsenal, or who do you feel is the right candidate for the job?
I think the best man for the job is Simeone. I just wonder if they'll be put off by his style of play, because I think it would take huge, I think if Simeone walked in there, I'm not sure of any player he'd look at and think, you're for me.
Yeah.
I can't think of one.
Yeah, he's hardly likely to look at any player in the Arsenal team and say, you're one of my warriors on the pitch. I can build my team around you, is he?
Could you imagine him looking at Ozil and Mkhitaryan and thinking, can I count on you? You know, when the going gets tough, like, you know, no. Where he is, and now he has Koke and Guardiola
and Godin at the back, yeah.
But that's the type of players Arsenal need, and that's, you know, that's when they were at their best and they had Vieira, Petit, Adams, Keown. You know, that's the type of team you could easily see Simeone managing to great effect. But
yeah,
like I think Simeone would be the best man for the job, but I just don't think he's the most compatible fit, because, like, I think if you get him, you're talking nearly $500 million. Because he's just going to want to get rid of everyone.
And rightly so.
Oh, absolutely. But, like, if they are fully invested, because, like, I genuinely look at Arsenal, and even if they spend $200 or $300 million and get Tuchel or Rodgers, I still think they're way too far behind City, United, Liverpool. And I think Chelsea will go again in the summer.
Yeah, and Tottenham.
Yeah. Like, I genuinely believe that they're so far behind that if they're really, really serious about getting back on top, then Simeone is the only choice, because I think Tuchel's at risk. I think Enrique's a risk. I think Unai Emre is a risk. I think Jardim is a risk. And Rodgers is a huge risk. And I also think as well that Rodgers is almost like a bit of a David Moyes at the moment. And it's completely unfair. But he's a bit of a parody figure, you know, and they've only just got rid of someone who became a bit of a parody in Arsene Wenger. Mm-hmm. But I think if Arsenal want to be really taken serious and make people sit up and notice, because it would certainly make me sit up and notice if they got Simeone, because I'd be thinking, right, they've got him known full well that he's going to gut this squad, like, so they mean business. But I think Simeone is the best man for the job, but not necessarily the most compatible with the Arsenal board, because they're very non-confrontational as well. You know, Simeone is not someone who will be like, you know, who'll be like, you know, I suppose though he did work under a similar model with Atletico, where, you know, they sold their best players and managed to still improve. But I just think if he's going to leave Atletico, you know, he'll want to make sure he's going into a team that's fully backing him, or a club. I don't know what you guys think of that.
Yeah, well, it's like what I was also thinking is, you know, if you look at the time of Wenger's announcement, when Ferguson left, he always said that he had someone in mind, someone that he felt was the best, and obviously he was incorrect, and, you know, even a genius like Ferguson got it wrong. But, you know, it begs the question as to whether Wenger, over the years, foresaw someone that he thought was ideal, and given his reach and his exposure in the game of football, he must have had a short list of three or four men that he thought were absolutely ideal to take over when he left. And you like to think that those names have already been passed on to the board and they're out there trying to get that man in. But there's no one from within the club that's likely to get the job. I don't think Vieira would be a suitable appointment whatsoever. He's probably a little bit too green in his managerial career to take on at Arsenal. I think it would be a massive mistake by the board to put him in charge.
Is Tony Adams like Granada, is he?
Well, I think so. I think Saul Campbell might be interested in the job as well.
Saul Campbell, there you go.
Yeah.
What about Trapattoni assisted by Liam Brady?
Oh, Jesus. That'd be some shit show, wouldn't it?
Yeah. All right.
It's fascinating times with Arsenal, though, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like I just think that they've left it so long and let mediocrity set in right to the core that there's such a big job there that I really worry for Arsenal because, you know, I can't see them being any higher than sixth next season. And I think the fans now have got used to moaning. And there's going to be a lot of fans now that, you know, it's, as I was saying, 50-50 previously with Wenger, where half them wanted them out and half them wanted to stay. And I think the fans that wanted them out now are going to be very keen to back the new manager because they want to change. And the fans that wanted Wenger to stay are going to be very much like, well, be careful what you wish for and be almost against the manager from the offset. So there's a real split at Arsenal. And I just think that there's big trouble ahead unless they bring in the only man I think they can bring in is Simeone.
Yeah, but as well, if you look at their league position and the competitions they're likely playing next year, and if you take into account how much it actually costs to go see Arsenal play at their beautiful stadium, they're charging premium price to watch their team play in certain competitions, and they're not involved in a title. They're not likely going to be involved in a title race anytime soon. They're probably not going to be playing Champions League football next year. You're going to wonder whether they can reasonably decide to charge people the money that they're asking for to go watch Arsenal play when they're not competing for the league, they're not playing the Champions League, but they have to sell for the UEFA Cup. They're not going to be bringing in stellar names. They've a lot of problems on their plate.
Yeah. All right. Well, it'll be interesting to see who is appointed, hopefully by next Sunday. There is an appointment, so we can, I suppose, discuss it and get our thoughts on that and I suppose see what that means for the future of Arsenal Football Club. But for the moment, lads, we'll leave it there. All right, moving on to the Premier League, which because of the FA Cup was down to the bare bones in terms of fixtures. We still had a couple of games of note, though. We've already discussed Arsenal in depth, predominantly because of Arsene Wenger winning day one 4-1 today. Against West Ham. Unfortunately, from an Irish point of view, a slight mistake by Declan Rice, but he's young, he'll learn from that. In the later game, we had Man City, who I thought was going to be presented the Premier League trophy today, but apparently that's been held back to the Huddersfield game. But they won 5-0. Lads, not much really to talk about. We're here, we spoke about City last week. Another really good performance, 5 goals. Do you expect them to go on and break all the records that are before them in terms of goals and points?
Yeah, you would. The fixture list seems favourable to them. I'm not really going to get involved in what City do for the rest of the year. They've won the title. They're the best team in the league. There's nothing that they're going to do that's really going to surprise me anymore. I wouldn't watch City play at all in the league for the rest of the season. It's done for me. I know you obviously would because you're a lifelong, and I stress, lifelong City fan. I think neutrals wouldn't have any real interest in watching City play anymore for the rest of the season.
Too painful for you to watch, Luxy, is it?
That's the reason why.
Dave, apparently City players aren't going to attend the PFA Awards tonight. Where the player of the year will be announced, leading to many to speculate that the winner will be Mo Salah.
His odds reflect that now.
But yeah.
1-10 or something like that, yeah.
Yes. 1-10? Fucking hell.
Well, there's information kind of that no Man City player will attend the function tonight. I think because they were out of country when they actually won the league, they're going to have I don't know, maybe a little bit of an event this evening after the Swansea game. But I think the fact that I think players really know who's won the award. The information gets leaked and it's key, Dave, the fact that De Bruyne won't be attending to suggest that Salah will win it, which is great for him, but it's very harsh on De Bruyne, although it would have been harsh on Salah as well had De Bruyne won it.
Yeah, I think, to be honest with you, I don't think there's very much to be seen into it. Like, I mean, players vote for that player of the year, I think some week in March, as far as I know. That week could have been the week he scored the four goals against Watford. That could have been a big that could have been a very big swinger for Salah. So I think I don't see it as like sour grapes or anything like that, that they're not there. I think, as you said, they probably have other plans, and it's not really a big deal, this award. So, as far as I know, the players don't even take it that seriously. Frank Lampard done an interview where he said his every year his PA used to vote for him. So yeah, I don't think the players are really that bothered about who gets it between in terms of De Bruyne and Salah. I think they're more concerned with their team performances and winning trophies and stuff like that. And at the end of the day, Kevin De Bruyne can point to his Premier League medal, and that's it really, to be honest.
And his League Cup medal as well. All right. The other big game in the Premier League at the weekend was the fourth game, Liverpool and West Brom. Of course, a big week for Liverpool, who are in Champions League action against Roma this week. But there'll be concerns, Luxy, that particularly coming up against Roma, who will present a much different threat than City from an aerial point of view, that they conceded two goals from set pieces yesterday. And despite spending a lot of money on Van Dijk, and who, in fairness, has looked assured at times, they still look extremely vulnerable, Liverpool. They blew a two-goal lead to West Brom, which must cause concern for them coming into a big week.
Absolutely. Well, absolutely does. It's not something that would surprise, I think, Liverpool fans and fans that watched Liverpool play over the past couple of years. They've always been susceptible to conceding goals and set pieces, and it is the real Achilles heel. Their inability or their consistent inability to organise a box and just concede City goals and City mistakes. And you'd truly like to think it's something that Klopp has worked strenuously on the training ground, because it occurs far too often and it's cost them far too many points. And it's definitely something that is going to hurt them big time next year. If they are to push for the title, that's where they're going to concede points. That's where they're going to drop momentum. And it's definitely something they need to fix. I also thought Salah's selection at the start of the match was... obviously, it worked out because he came through the match unscathed. But it could have been extremely foolish and foolhardy by Klopp to not manage the player's ego. And the player obviously wants to get the golden boot. He's having an incredible year. But I think sometimes you have to set aside the player's ambition and put the team ahead of the player. The team should always come first. And what's paramount for Liverpool at the moment is Roma, is Champions League semi-final. And obviously Salah is a fundamental piece of that jigsaw. And if he, you can only imagine the scenes if he got injured yesterday. Liverpool are near enough guaranteed top four. Whether they finish second, third or fourth is irrelevant next year. It doesn't matter what position you finish in the top four, you're going to play in the Champions League next year. They've got an absolutely great chance to win the Champions League. For some people, they were a big dark horse. They surpassed expectations. They've done extremely well. And it just seems to me a little bit of might be crumbling a bit under pressure. And he's not managing the situation correctly. I was very surprised with Salah's selection. And they're probably very fortunate that he didn't come off injured yesterday. Because anything can happen in a football match. Most injuries are innocuous. They're not always a challenge due to another player fouling the player. So, Liverpool are there. I would be concerned if I was Liverpool at the moment. That wasn't a good result yesterday. Salah playing, they should have rested him, conserve his energy, keep him prepped for the most important match of their season. So I would be a little bit worried going into the Roma match if I was a Liverpool fan.
Yeah. Do you know what would concern me, Dave? Particularly after Klopp's comments yesterday about West Brom not watering the pitch and you know, how they might regret that next season in the Championship, despite the fact that they haven't been relegated yet. I thought that was particularly bad.
Passionate.
Yeah. Well, could you imagine if Jose Mourinho said that?
I think Klopp, he's like, you know, he's like the cool kid in school who kind of gets away with, you know, comments like that because he'll give you a hug or he'll give you a smile after he does it. Like he'll punch you in the balls, but then he'll laugh and he'll kind of give you a little, you know, a hug afterwards. That's Jurgen Klopp. Mourinho, he's just a sour faced, you know, he's whatever. He's not a nice man. He's an unpleasant person, and that's why he gets such negative press and such negative, you know, reactions in certain quarters. So, but yeah, what Klopp said was kind of just let's call it a spade a spade. It wasn't a nice thing to say at all, was it? Like, I mean, they were
Sour grapes.
It was sour grapes. I mean, yeah, he called it a waste of points and basically, good luck in the Championship next year. You're going down because they came back and they scored two goals based on, as Jay pointed out there, defensive lapses, not being able to see out the game, which has been a problem under a problem that I thought they'd actually solved in the last couple of weeks, Liverpool with their defences. But still, it's still cropped up there the odd time, I think. And they missed a few players yesterday. They definitely missed Robertson. And I'm not pained to say him, but I think they might have missed Double A as well.
What I've noticed a bit, Dave, with Liverpool this season is a real kind of, and I think it was emphasised yesterday, is a real smugness, despite having won absolutely nothing. Like, we all like watching Liverpool play, and, you know, I think we all like Klopp, although, you know,
Frank, that's Liverpool 101. It's their year every year. That never changes.
No one does smugness like Liverpool. But
yeah.
I think in the last few weeks, particularly since, you know, beating City, it's almost like they've started believing their own hype. You know, you had Klopp's comments yesterday. There's been a couple of instances, you know, with Firmino and doing that kind of no-look tap into the net, which is, I don't know, it's a bit disrespectful. But you've all, like, you know, you get this kind of, like, you know, the way they had this kind of ceremony for the bus arriving and the atmosphere they have on the ground. And, you know, and then they were all, because Man City didn't have a similar one when their bus arrived, you know, it's like, oh, typical, you know, typical team with no history and things like that. And, you know, oh, they can't even sell out their stadium. Like, you know, fair play to Liverpool. They can sell out their 38,000 seater stadium, their little matchbox. But they've there seems to be a real smugness about them of late, despite the fact that they haven't won at. And, you know, sometimes you try and like them, there's just, you know, their fans, their manager and their players. Even when Harry Kane claimed that goal, you know, against, I think it was Stoke, fair enough, you know, but they seem to be jumping all over them. Liverpool players did, like Henderson and Salah on Twitter, you know, kind of like making comments about it. And you're kind of thinking, like, what are you concerned about what another player's doing? Like, you know, as we said with De Bruyne, it should be, well, look, I'm focused on the team winning. Whatever if someone, their player, wants to claim goals to become a golden boot winner, that's nothing to do with us. Like,
yeah, you'd like to think that at this stage of Liverpool's season, that their sole focus and priority should be the Champions League, and they're not letting themselves be distracted by, but you know, the likes of Harry Kane trying to claim a goal. That shouldn't be relevant or important to them at all. But it has seemed to cause a bit of a stir amongst Liverpool fans and the manager as well. You could certainly understand why Salah might be taking the piss on Twitter, for example, but it should definitely not be an issue that they're bringing to the forefront. They should be concentrating on the biggest game of their year. And in terms of their smugness and in terms of their self and their need to feel like they're entitled to glory and victory, as far as I've been alive, Frank, Liverpool have always been guilty of that. As I said, it's always been their year. Yes, their victory against City in both matches was stunning, but the job isn't done. They've got a huge match against Real Madrid in a way, and then the final, you know, Liverpool on their day, given the way they play football, they can beat anyone. But the way to approach it is to be quiet, diligent and consistent, and just get on with it. And there does seem to be, you know, small cracks appearing in the Liverpool team, and it doesn't look good at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, Dave, like, I don't know whether you agree with the smugness or not. You can let us know. But as far as Liverpool are concerned, they could finish second and win the Champions League, which would obviously be a great season. Or they could be knocked out in the semi-finals and possibly even still finish fifth. Do you think that Liverpool are getting ahead of themselves a little bit? You know, many people are tipping them to be City's biggest challenger next season. Despite the fact that they're 20 points behind, and they're probably going to finish, given that when you look at the fixtures and priorities, they could finish up to 10 points behind Man United come the end of the year. And we'll move on to Man United in the next segment. But do you think they're getting ahead of themselves a bit?
Well, it's something we've always said about their fans, that they're a very optimistic bunch, to put it politely, you know.
That's a very polite way of putting it, Dave.
But the fact is that it seems to be seeping into the club as a whole, which is fair enough. The fans are the fans. You know, they have their little, you know, celebratory tattoos before they win the leagues, and their T-shirts that they print out saying "League Champions," and then it unfortunately all falls down for them as happened so many times in the past. But it does seem that there is a belief now in the club that they've sort of, you know, they've made it, that they're the people's kind of club, and that everyone kind of likes to watch them, and which is true to an extent. But they still haven't won any trophies yet. And they've only got one League Cup in the last 10 years to show for their, you know, for all their great football and all their entertaining ways. So no, the club need to keep their feet on the ground and to not let their kind of what people say about them may affect their way forward, and to remain kind of humble to all these teams, and to respect the likes of West Brom and, you know, smaller teams like that who can still cause some problems, which was evidenced there on Saturday. So yeah, I think there is a bit of a smugness there, and in Klopp's words, it's definitely a sense of entitlement, almost, that how dare West Brom try and compete with us, and how dare West Brom, who are the home team, try to gain an advantage from their home ground, you know, which is what he said. No, I think, I think Liverpool haven't made it yet. They're getting there. They're getting closer than they have been in maybe 20 years. And they are in a position to challenge City next year, but they really need to, they need to treat teams with respect. They need to kind of pick up points against West Brom and not drop them like what City do. And
they could still finish fifth this season, Dave. Chelsea have a game in hand and still have Liverpool to play.
Gap could be down
to 2 points. Chelsea have Liverpool at home.
And with the distraction of the Champions League as well, who knows? Yeah. But I do think Liverpool have to kind of just be a bit more respectful to some of these teams.
Sum up your reaction, Luxie, if Liverpool went out at the Champions League to Roma and somehow then managed to finish fifth.
I think the hashtag would be Klopp Ale, wouldn't it?
Especially with Wenger not around anymore.
Maybe Wenger might feel the need to take over Liverpool.
Them sign makers need to stay in business.
Yeah, most definitely do. It'd be an absolute disaster. It'd be comical. It'd be one of the funniest things we ever saw. It was kind of happened to anyone. It probably happened to Liverpool. So maybe it might. She's not funny if it did.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, we'll see what happens. I'm sure if that did happen, stay tuned for a 4-hour feature special of Get Up the Yard. All right, lads, we'll wrap that up and move on to the FA Cup. All right, it's now time to talk about the FA Cup. The FA Cup final next month will be contested between Manchester United and Chelsea, who were both successful in their semi-finals against Spurs and Southampton, respectively. Should be a great game, two good teams. Let's start with the first game yesterday evening, lads. Man United and Spurs. Spurs taking an early lead through Dele Alli before United hit back through a brilliant Alexis Sanchez goal and another well-worked goal with Herrera. And I think everyone would agree it was well-deserved. Spurs started well for the first 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes, but really went out of the game then, and United took control. Which begs the question, lads, foresee about Mourinho. He's come under a lot of scrutiny this season, and there has been bad results along the way, particularly the Sevilla one. But given that City's season has been unparalleled in terms of the level of points that they're likely to amass and how they went about it, and given what's happened over the last month when United have beaten Liverpool and came from behind to beat Chelsea and Spurs and City, I'll start with you, Dave. Has Jose Mourinho been unfairly treated? And I hate to go back to this. When you look at the praise that Klopp's getting, considering, you know, they drew with Liverpool at Anfield and beat them relatively comfortably at home, and that are they 4 points ahead of Liverpool with a game in hand? Is Jose Mourinho, has he been too harshly treated this season by the media and fans, and maybe even us at times?
Yes and no. I think, yes, he has contributed to some of Man United's bad results this year. You only have to look at the Sevilla match, and even other games like the City match at home, where even the first half of the City match, where clearly his tactics were to not attack, to be patient and to be pragmatic when the games didn't call for them at all. They called for a bit more action, a bit more, you know, get up and go, just like trying and attacking football and using the quality that United have, undoubtedly have, to hurt teams. He has been guilty of not doing that at times. But however, on the other hand, you know, there's been times when we've seen some lazy performances from the likes of Pogba and Sanchez. So I think they also have to take their share of responsibility for when things haven't gone well this year, and for showing what they have when they want to. Like against the second half against City, or against the game against Spurs or Liverpool, when they performed well and they attacked and they show Pogba and Sanchez showed why, you know, it's paid so much money for them and why they're, you know, why they're earning so much at the club. They haven't shown that enough times this year. And that's, I think Jay mentioned last week that Mourinho needed to tell them to get down from cloud nine about beating City and to focus on West Brom. And that's true. But on the other hand, the players needed to listen to what he was saying and actually go out there and perform the pitch, which they didn't last week and which they haven't done countless times this year. So I think I'd apportion 50-50 blame between Mourinho and the players themselves for not, you know, performing to the standard that they should be playing all the season. And especially when you see them, the performance like on Saturday when they were, when they beat a Spurs team, a very good Spurs team, very convincingly, after, you know, going 1-0 down, and to control the game after that, really, because that's second half. I don't think Harry Kane touched the ball once. I don't know. I think he got a deflection after the goal, but that's about it. After the Herrera goal, but yeah, I think I would say we are maybe being a bit critical of Mourinho, because, you know, it's performances this year haven't been down to him. I think they've been down to laziness from the likes of Pogba. And I think when they show what they're capable of, you ask the question, why can't they do that all the time?
Yeah. What about that, Luxie? Like, have you seen enough over the last month, as I said, with the victories against Liverpool, City, Chelsea, Spurs, to suggest that, although it's going a bit slower than the City, project that, you know, and the points that they're going to amass this season, I think would have won the Premier League in maybe seven of the years. And it's certainly up there in terms of the point totals Ferguson used to get. I know you're not Mourinho's biggest fan, but have you seen reasons to be optimistic based on the last month? Like, let's take the West Brom result out of it, which we spoke about in depth last week.
No, I certainly disagree with Dave when he says that Mourinho's not at fault or to blame for any of the poor performances. And those performances, I purely at the players, I would absolutely disagree with that. Players are certainly culpable as well. You know, they have to go out and do what their manager asks them to do. But if you look at United's poor performance as a whole, they're consistently poor, and they're consistently poor in the same manner. And that to me shows that there's a lack of proper direction and instruction from the manager, or they are being told to play a certain way, and the way they're being told to play isn't effective and it doesn't work. And if you were to take United's good results in isolation, the Chelsea result, the City result, Liverpool result, and the Tottenham result yesterday, on the basis of those performances and the results, you go, yeah, there's a definite cause for hope. One thing it shows that the team are certainly resilient, but to come back from a goal down against those teams is definitely something that you should applaud it, and it's definitely something that you should use going forward. But to purely suggest on the basis of those results that the team can compete next year with City and Liverpool, I think it's a bit foolhardy. To suggest that the gap has been bridged, I think it's foolish as well. Because if you are to accept those performances as reason, just cause for United being able to challenge for the league next year, you're basically just going to turn into a Liverpool fan. That's what Liverpool have always done throughout their 20 plus years not winning the league. They have beat the big teams and they have played well against them, but over the year, they've been inconsistent defensively, and they have turned out poor performances against teams of our comps that they should beat. And that's what I've seen of United over the past 2 years in Mourinho. Yes, he has won the UEFA Cup. Yes, he's won the Carling Cup. Yes, he might go on to win the FA Cup. But they're three cups that they wouldn't be on top of the list. The top of the list is always the league. Second is always the Champions League. And the past 2 years, the United weren't the Champions League last year. They've been challenged for the league last year. They barely challenged the league this year, and they were knocked out against a poor Sevilla team this year. And if you look at where United need to be or where they should be, they're nowhere near that. They're nowhere close. They're competing very well in the echelon below that. But I feel Mourinho has been slightly disappointing. Pogba, I feel, has been slightly disappointing over the 2 years. Yes, he is starting to play better, and he did play well yesterday. But I don't see remotely enough for me to think that United are going to be able to compete effectively and practically next year. Mourinho has turned out some good results, but they've been in isolation. What he's really lacked is consistently playing well. That's what Klopp has been able to do this year. That's what Guardiola has been able to do this year. And if you're to absolve Mourinho...
They're ahead of Liverpool, Luxy.
They are. But Liverpool have a consistent and effective way of winning football matches. Yes, they are defensively poor, but at least when they have the ball at their feet, you can see a clear path, a clear understanding of what they're trying to do. You don't see that with United. With United, it's always very hit and miss. It's not constructive. It is very pragmatic. I don't even like saying that about Mourinho. At times, I feel like they've just been a little bit fortunate that the team playing against them hasn't been able to step up, or else United have dragged them down to their level, like they probably did against City when they played them recently. United aren't able to step up the gear that much. It's a little bit too slow, and that makes me think that Mourinho doesn't really, what he's trying to do isn't working. His game plan isn't working out as well as it should be, and I would put that down to him. He's on a lot of money. He's supposed to be one of the best managers in the world, and I don't think he's transformed the club enough to give them the platform to go on and challenge where they should be challenging at. That's just what I've seen over the past 2 years. So I wouldn't agree at all with Dave when he says Mourinho's not to blame for the poor performances.
I think the games against City and Spurs prove that they can step up the gear and they can be attacking. They can actually, you know, when they want to.
They're, they're one offs though, Dave.
They're not one offs. That's three examples that we listed off. It's probably the three times that they were told to play that way. And yeah, I do agree with you. It comes down to mentality and mindset. If Mourinho can somehow change his players and tell them to tell Luis Pogba and Sanchez and Lukaku to use their strengths, that would be for the betterment of Man United as a football team. They wouldn't be dropping points to Luis West Brom and they wouldn't be going to Sevilla if they had that mindset. That's true. But on the reverse of that, you have someone like Pogba who yesterday was brilliant. Sanchez yesterday was brilliant. I mean,
Herrera and Sanchez were great.
But against West Brom, Paul Pogba couldn't string a pass together. Against Crystal Palace, he gave the balls away 20 odd times. That's not Mourinho telling him to give the ball away or to do this or that or the other. Pogba, when he wants to and when he can try him and when he's focused on the game, is a very, very good attacking footballer. He can pick out killer passes, who can shoot from distance. But I just think when it comes down to smaller teams, and we've seen it so many times this year, he's been lacking. That's laziness, Jay. That's nothing to do with what the manager's telling him to do. That's just him being lethargic and not trying his bollocks off. And same with Sanchez
That's just one player, Dave. I'm talking about the team.
As a collective.
You can definitely question the relationship and the dynamic between Pogba and the manager. But I'm saying the team has been inconsistent over the course of last season and this season in the league. And that is down to the manager. I say Paul Pogba and say it's not up to Paul Pogba to decide whether Manchester United play well or not. There's 10 other players in the team.
No,
that dictate
but it is
the game
it
well.
Is Paul Pogba to decide whether Paul Pogba plays well. He doesn't need motivation. So that's the point I'm making there.
It is. But I don't think he should be the central focus and the central reason as to whether United should be good or bad. Mourinho's self focus shouldn't be on Paul Pogba. It's on the team, and I think consistently with the players at his disposal, he's not able to motivate them enough. He's not able to get the best out of them, and I think that's his fault. And Pogba is a prime example of that.
I think it's 50-50 where the fault should lie in regards to a perceived lack of motivation. I think the players who play for Man United shouldn't need Mourinho to hold their hands and say, go out there and do this against that against West Brom. No, just go out there and play because you're a better team than them. Go out there and be Man United against them. And the same with Sevilla. I was watching that match and thinking, why doesn't someone just take the game by the scruff of the neck and just go and outplay them? Use the quality that you have in that final third and go for it, which they did after they conceded two goals and it was too late. If they'd have done that from the first whistle, they probably would have won 4-5-1. But no, there definitely is I think Jay is probably right. There's a communication difference and a clash of, you know, where they want to take the club, and maybe players like Sanchez, Pogba, and Lukaku, and all that might want will be better off without him as the manager there. But I mean, at the end of the day, they've proved, you know, in the numerous games this season that they can they have the quality to attack teams and to, you know, play on the front foot, which is what they should be doing from now on. I think we'll serve United. It would be United's best interest now to become a more attacking team. Whether Mourinho will change his tricks, it's unlikely. But I mean, do you not think, Jay, maybe that it would be United's best interest for a different philosophy of the club?
Oh, absolutely. I would, Dave. Yeah. You know, it's an achievement to qualify for three cups in two seasons. It absolutely is, like three cup finals. But you know, would that not relegate United to being a cup team, which is completely opposite to what United are and what they were, and what they should be. And when I say should be, I'm just speaking as a United fan. And I think other neutrals would expect United to be challenging for the league or to be prevalent in the latter stages of the Champions League, not necessarily win it, but to be a force, as they previously were. And despite the progression, I think it's minimal. It's not enough. And other fans say, oh, you know, you might, you know, three, I know they haven't won the FA Cup yet. Let's say they go on to win it. That's three cups in the past 2 years. And by other fans' estimations, that's an achievement. But you know, the standard that Ferguson set, the philosophy that he put in place, the style of football, the success that he demanded, that bar isn't at United at the moment. And if you look at Mourinho's words, and you listen to what he says, he's often relegated United to being a second best team. He doesn't promote enough aspiration, enough desire. He's not convincing in the way he comes across. And the lashing out of players, the lack of harmony within the team. I certainly don't feel that the players believe in him in the same way that, you know, a Bernardo Silva at Man City looks at Guardiola, and the way James Milner buys into Klopp. I don't think the players buy into Mourinho as much as they're willing to buy into Guardiola or Klopp. There's a disconnect between him and the team. And it's worked in certain games, but it has to work throughout the whole year. He has to have the team behind him all the time. And Mourinho, in the way he conducts himself, there's always conflict. There's always a bit of irritation. He likes to rifle his players up a little bit, and it hasn't worked at United for certain parts of the year. There's definitely certain progress, and he hasn't made the team a little bit more resilient. But that's, for me, that's the basic. It's not a great achievement that should be lauded, and should be across. You know, United are back. They're not back. You know, they have to prove it, and they're going to have to prove it next year. Suggest now that, you know, they're close or they're getting better, and better in terms of City. No, absolutely not. I'm still concerned as a United fan.
Can I just ask you, Dave, just in relation to, you know, you mentioned obviously it's Paul Pogba's responsibility to make sure Paul Pogba plays well, but, you know, I suppose Man United's best performances this season, and they've probably been in the last month against Chelsea and City and Spurs, have all been when they've been behind and they've had to go onto the front foot, and that's brought the best out of Pogba. So, like, is there an argument to say that, you know, if United are starting off games not to lose them, or in a cautious manner, should we say, that doesn't lend itself to Pogba, and that he's proven in the games like against Chelsea where they went 1-0 down, or City where they went 2-0 down, or Spurs where they went 1-0 down, and it's forced United's hand, and he's proven then, you know, his worth to the team, that is it Mourinho that's the problem as opposed to Pogba?
I did say it was I'm not saying Mourinho is blameless in this. Of course he's not. He's definitely contributes to the negative style of football that we've seen at United for the last since he's really taken over. And it is frustrating, you know, to watch them and seeing kind of what they can do and what they're well capable of doing when their backs are to the wall. But when they're in their protective mode or their defensive mode, it's frustrating to say the least. But I don't see why. You know, against these smaller teams, I don't know why it takes them to go 1-0 down to actually show some initiative in the final tour, because that's what that is. You know, it's being cutting and creating a chance or putting a through ball in or having a shot. It just doesn't happen when they're 0-0. I mean, I went back to the Sevilla match. I think, as I said to you, if United had that front foot mentality, they wouldn't have lost that game 2-1. They probably would have won it 4-1. I think we can pretty much all agree on that. So yeah, I do think that Mourinho is responsible for that, and I think that could be improved upon. It's just frustrating to watch, seeing what United are capable of and what they've performed this season, and it's quite baffling, really.
Yeah. Well, look, moving on to Spurs then, Dave. Mourinho. Pochettino, you know, he's a young, promising manager, and the same of this Spurs team. They're young and promising, but they seem to be getting a bit of a tag of serial losers and not being able to win a meaningful game. You know, they beat Madrid in the group stages of the Champions League, and they came up against Juventus despite having, you know, a decent result away from home. They fell apart. They had a big advantage against City last week, with City having been involved in the Champions League. They were well outplayed. Then this week against United, despite the fact that probably only 6 weeks ago they absolutely dominated United at Wembley and won 2-0, they were well beaten yesterday. Like, do you have concerns about the mental frailties of Pochettino and the Spurs team and what the future holds for them? Because, you know, it's expected that Rose and maybe Alderweireld will leave in the summer. And one or two more might look to leave, because I think the Spurs project is starting to slow down a bit.
Maybe. They've been, I hate to use the word bottler, but they've got the kind of reputation now of that. We're a good team. They've had a difficult season this year with the adjustments to playing at Wembley. But I still think Pochettino is I think he's a really good manager. I think he's one of the best coaches in the world, and I think he'll have any number of
Do you still think he's the best coach in England? That's what you said at the start of the year, wasn't it?
I think it'd be him or Guardiola, but I think you can make an argument for either one of them. I still think so, yeah. I think he's a very, very good coach. You look at the budget that Spurs have and the resources they have and the job he's done to even... I mean, he finished ahead of Man City last year.
What about the players that he's bought, Dave? Llorente, Wimmer, Sissoko, Janssen. You know, he has a small budget, but it's probably just as well the way he spends it.
Yeah, I mean, they're backup players, aren't they? He's bought Alderweireld, he's bought Trippier. They've worked out well. I think he bought Wanyama as well, did he? They've been very good players for them. Did only mention them regressing last year. I don't think they've regressed. I think they've just kind of plateaued. I don't know if they can break the next level. Maybe they can't. Maybe the project is kind of finished or whatever. But I mean, I think it's obviously difficult this year. City kind of just steamrolled the league this year. So whether they can, they will need investment if they're going to compete with City, and they will need investment if they're going to compete for the big trophies. And of course, maybe it's a mental block thing, but they do need to win that first trophy to kind of get the monkey off the back. So it's unfortunate for them again, but I think if they can hold on to maybe Alderweireld, Rhodes wouldn't be that big a loss really. But I mean, if they can keep that team next year, I think they'll be in the mix again next year.
Yeah. What do you make of Luxy?
Sorry, lads. What do I make of Tottenham? Yeah. I think the arguments that you raised are probably valid. I think the problem is the structure of their squad. When they've been performing poorly, they haven't had the flexibility to modify their team to an extent where they can grind out results, gone through patchy periods. They are obviously very heavily reliant on Harry Kane for goals. Other than him and Eriksen, there's not a whole lot of goals in the team. Dele Alli, at the start of the season, chipped in a bit. The South Korean lad, who's an exceptional player, he's played very well this year. He has chipped in with a few goals. They do have a small enough squad from what I can see, and I think that has heavily impacted them. Playing the Champions League will definitely aid them, but there does still seem to be a psychological issue of resilience within the team, which is worrying, and it's something that Pochettino definitely needs to get a handle on if he wants to change Tottenham's fortunes, because they United, for the most part, seem to have a hoodoo over them. United didn't have to be exceptionally brilliant yesterday to beat them. They were competent, they were professional, and they went about it the right way, but at the same time, they weren't brilliant. And Tottenham were effectively playing at home yesterday. I know it's not their home stadium, but they played all their home games there this year, so they had an advantage yesterday. And United were, despite a slow start, they're able to take a foothold, and Dembele looked a little bit lost. He didn't have a great game. He was bounced off the ball by Pogba. I genuinely would be worried if I was Tottenham. They probably should finish ahead of Arsenal next year, but you know, their target has to be, you know, a realistic challenge in the league. And if you know, they're rebuilding their stadium, they don't seem to have the biggest budget, other than Eriksen, I can't really pick out a Tottenham player that Pochettino signed as being exceptional. Lamela, who he seems to be very fond of, and he has spent quite a bit of time out injured, doesn't quite cut it. Sokol is another player that he spent a good bit of money on. He's barely played him, and he's fucking useless. I actually think Danny Rose is a good player. I think he's just been dropped this year, not through ability. I just think through his comments at the start of last year, where he was kind of angling for a move away to one of the Manchester clubs. So, you would be worried if I was Tottenham. I think the way their season is finished has been slightly disappointing. They're probably expecting a little bit more. Unfortunately, the players haven't been able to deliver, and it seems to happen to Tottenham a lot every year.
Yeah. Dave, any chance Pochettino could wind up at Arsenal?
No. No, he won't. No. He seems like the kind of loyal fella anyway, and not to manager to do that. I mean, didn't he ruled himself out of Barcelona because he spent a couple of weeks at Espanyol, so...
I think he is actually from that region. Oh, well, he played in that region, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how long he spent there now, but he does seem to kind of a loyal type of, not the type of the person to go and do that. So no, you won't be at Arsenal. Wouldn't you? Yeah. Real Madrid, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Now, like, just a quick question to both of you. Who do you think will finish higher next season, Arsenal or Spurs?
Spurs 100%. Without doubt, Spurs. Pochettino is a very good manager. I don't think any of those players are going to leave during the summer. They'll probably add a little bit to their squad. Arsenal won't be able to compete. They're going to struggle next year. Tottenham won't as much as Arsenal will.
Yeah.
If Arsenal gets Simeone next year, Arsenal maybe, but other than that, Spurs. Yeah.
All right. And then Man United will play Chelsea in the final, who, as expected, overcame Southampton. That should be a good final. It could be Conte's last game as well, and I'm sure he'd like to go out with a trophy. But Man United would probably be favourites there, lads. Would they slight favourites?
Yeah, they're heading the league. They beat them last time out at Old Trafford, all right. But I think Chelsea have kind of been hot and cold all year. I would maybe give United the slight edge, but anything could happen. Giroud seems to be in a good bit of form now. I think he's got to be starting for them now. A few of their players have...
Although Morata scored as well today.
Oh, yeah. He scored in the last... Yeah, he came on, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. They seem to be hitting a bit of form now with some of their kind of top players. I think it's set up for a Mourinho sort of cup final special, really. Like, oh, very narrowly 1-0.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see penalties. One thing that we won't see is an Alan Pardew type dance. I can't imagine Conte or Mourinho being one of them in an FA Cup final.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, no. United should be favourites. I would expect them to go on and win it. And that's not a biased point of view. They're in better form. I think they'd be a better overall team. Chelsea have been disappointed this year, and I don't think they're mentally resilient in the same way that United are, so I'd expect United to beat them 2-0 or 2-1 in the final.
Yeah, and we all know how accurate Jay Luxy is with his predictions, so...
I'm fucking rubbish.
Get down to the bookies and put your mortgage on Chelsea. Yeah, City will beat Liverpool 5-2. Yeah, that worked out well for us, didn't it? Right, that's pretty much it, lads, for this week's show. Not unless you've anything to add.
No, I've absolutely none to add. The only thing I'd like to see this week is Saul Campbell putting his name forward for the Arsenal job. That'd make my week, but it's not likely.
Yeah. What about Cook at Wigan, Dave? He's got them promoted there. Former Sligo Rovers manager. Maybe he might be linked with the Arsenal job. No, Dave's just disgusted by that.
I think the darts might be on, Frank.
Yeah, I heard him earlier choking on Smiddix, so I think that's our cue to call it a night. So thanks.
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, thanks for your contributions, lads, and we'll be back next week. I'm sure I'll be joined again by Jay and Dave, and hopefully we'll be joined by Kenny. But until then, we'll speak to you next week. Bye bye.
All right. See you later. Yeah, no, we definitely miss Kenny this week. Well done, lads.
Yeah.
Get up the yard.